We come into the house of the Lord, trusting our hearts and our minds to His Spirit. Let us prepare for worship.
God is good, and all the time.
God is good.
We greet you this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. If you're a visitor with us, we want to extend a special welcome to you and encourage you to fill out a visitor card and place that in the offering plate today. If you'd like to know more about our church, you can include your email address, and we'll be happy to keep you well informed. I want to remind the church that we have our fellowship meal tonight at 5, and 4 o'clock, our church council. If you're a ministry team leader, we encourage you to be there for that. As we continue our Experiencing God study, many of you are participating in that. And our verse for this coming week is Psalm chapter 20, verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but our trust is in the name of the Lord our God. Let us put our trust in Him and open our hearts to Him as we worship this morning together.
This morning, our opening scripture reading comes from the prophet Isaiah, reading for chapter 55,
verses 6 through 9. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father God, we have gathered on this day in your house to worship you. We drop everything at the door, our worries about this past week, our stresses about the week to come, and we gather in your presence this morning. Father God, we just ask that as we sing to you, as we pray to you, as we read scripture, as we read your word, as we listen to the sermon, and as we bask in your presence this day, that it be pleasing to you. That is what worship is. It is an offering. And Father God, we come to you this day, lifting it up to you. We lift this prayer in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If you can, please stand and join us in singing our hymn of praise, Cornerstone.
I dare not trust the sweetest friend. with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. Christ alone, cornerstone, weakness strong, in the Savior's love, through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all.
Sing that one more time.
Christ alone, cornerstone, weakness strong, in the Savior's love, through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all.
Amen. You may be seated. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Well, I come to you this morning talking about the music ministry, and what a wonderful song that we just sang. But you know, we need something. We need an acoustic guitarist, and there's got to be somebody that can play electric guitar or acoustic guitar out here. And so I'm coming to you begging for a guitarist, and so I know there's got to be somebody that plays one. So we need one very badly. And so if you know of anybody, a grandson or anybody that can come play, we really need one so that we can do more contemporary music here. And that's something that I would love to see us do more of. And so I'm begging for us to get one, please. And Jimmy does a great job, but we need help for Jimmy, and so that we can sing more stuff that's on the radio. And also, guess what time it is? It is Easter time. And we just started this past week with Easter music, so, you know, it's you don't have to join the choir. You can just come for Easter and sing with us. We started a cantata called Where Love and Mercy Meets by Marty Parks, and we would love you to come join us and just sing for Easter. That's all you have to commit to is for 2 months and practice on Wednesdays at 7 o'clock, and we'd love for you to come join us. And then we have one opening for handbells if anybody wants to come play handbells. That way I don't have to play handbells and I can just direct. But we started back with handbells this past week, and so we're rolling along. But we'd love for you to come join us. Give us a try. Our offertory hymn this morning is hymn number 39, Rejoice Ye Pure in Heart. Let's stand and let's worship.
Rejoice!
pray with me. Father God, as we come to this time of the service where we seek to return a portion of the gifts that you have blessed us with, we ask that you further this offering, not just what's in the plate, but what's in our hearts and what's in our lives and our abilities, Father, because you've called us to be an offering as well. We place this offering in your hands. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen.
Time in our service, we allow an opportunity of silence for you to privately and silently make your own personal confession to the Lord. Would you bow with me? The psalmist says, O Lord, to trust in the name of the Lord our God. And yet we confess, Lord, that many times our trust fails us, and we in turn fail you. We lack confidence in ourselves and in our abilities, but what we really express is we do not have the faith to believe you can do all things through Christ. Lord, we pray for your forgiveness and mercy when our lack of trust and faith leads us to not speak words that should have been said, or when we fail to act righteously, when we fail to act for justice, for love, for mercy. Forgive us, Lord, when our lack of trust and faith causes us to get turned around and we find ourselves going in the wrong direction altogether. We find ourselves feeling lost and helpless and alone. And we find ourselves struggling in our jobs and with our families, struggling as parents, struggling as children, struggling as husbands and wives, when all along we're really struggling against you. Struggling to keep you from being the center of our lives. But help us to find in your mercy a new struggle, a struggle to remain in your hands at all times, yielding ourselves to you completely. Oh God, we give you thanks for that mercy lived out in Jesus, who died for our sins, for our misdirections and our lack of faith. Lord, we rejoice in the mercy and grace that you give to all of us through him. And help us to stand confident, not in ourselves, but in the strength of Christ at all times. It is in his name that we pray. Amen. We invite you to hear again the words of Holy Scripture from Philippians chapter 2. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in a human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every other name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. The Lord always blesses the reading and the hearing of his word. Lord, as we come before you and seek to wrestle with your holy word, we pray that we, full of energy and focus, would see and hear clearly the words you would have us receive. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. I want to try a little experiment on you. If you're able to and if you're willing to, I want to ask that you stand up right where you are. All right, Now I'm going to ask you to sit down. I just want to see if I can make you do stuff. No, but this is a tool that many evangelists use when they're preaching. It's called the trust example. They make the observation that many people have a hard time trusting in Jesus or putting their trust in God. They have trouble believing. And yet the evangelist makes the point that, and I looked around and I didn't think I saw anybody looking back behind them to make sure the pew was really there. They use this analogy to say that kind of in a blind trust way, without looking back, we simply sit down, trusting, believing that there is something there to catch our bottom. There's something there that will find us and hold us up. Now, there are some flaws with the logic behind this example. And for example, you were already sitting there, so you know there's something behind you. But I would say, maybe that's even better. The God, we have experience with this God. We have experience that he has held us up before. He's caught us in the past. He's been there with us when we needed him. He's spoken to us through countless people in our lives and through scripture and through prayer. And so we trust him. But we trust a whole lot of other things, don't we? I'm amazed at how much trust we put in our devices, in our technology. We trust that whatever we see on the internet is true. You may remember I had a little cartoon on my office door many months ago, and it was a picture of a giant cow caught in a giant spider web. And the caption said, "Well, it must be true. It's on the web." We believe things. We trust in things. We see it. Someone posts something on Facebook, and without any kind of verification or background check or digging or research, we simply repost it as though it's true. We trust in our cell phone to tell us what the weather is like outside, don't we? I'll tell you, if you ever want to experiment with this, find a real, actual thermometer and look at what the temperature that it says compared to what your phone, and I promise your phone will almost always be wrong. A little bit off, just a little bit off, but we trust it. What's the weather going to be like today? How many of you ask your phone that in the morning? Siri, is it going to rain today? Okay, Google, is it going to rain? No, rain is not in your forecast. And what happens? It rains. We trust in those things. I had a sweet little lady in Germany that I asked her one day, I said, "Do you know what the weather's going to be like today?" She said, "I don't know, stick your head out the window." And yet we put all this faith in these devices and technologies. We trust in our GPS systems to get us where we want to go, which is horrifying. How many of you have been in this experience where you listened to your GPS system, followed it down to the very letter, and then once you got where you were going, you realized this is the worst possible way you could have gone? And I think some GPSs are trying to kill us. You know that you ever consider that you have to essentially sign a waiver every time you turn your GPS on? Does your GPS device say that you need to confirm that you are responsible for your actions? You know why this is in there? Because people were turning right when it says turn right now and ending up in ditches and in lakes. My GPS, state-of-the-art, brand new GPS, every time I cross the overpass on University Drive, when I get to the very center of the overpass, every time it says, turn right now. It doesn't know that there is an overpass. And there are some people's houses, it'll just never get me there. We trust in things that are really not that trustworthy, are they? And yet, those are silly things. Those are simple things. Most of us are not going to turn right off of a bridge. But what happens when we put real, vital, important trust in the wrong place, the wrong location? Our scripture is Psalm 20, which this psalm was written by the psalmist in preparation for a battle. They want victory. Everybody wants victory. You know, we don't necessarily want to go into war, but we want victory. And victories of all kinds. Some of us We're looking for victory in our marriage. We want to have a successful, healthy marriage. We want victory as parents. We want to be good at it. We want to do it right. We want to get it right. We want victory in our careers. We want to be working the right job, the job that's for us, so that we feel fulfilled, satisfied, happy, and maybe make a little bit of money. We want victory in our decision making. How many of us wring our hands because we just are not sure the right decision? We want to be victorious over that. We want to be able to do it and do it right, to get things right. And so whatever your battle is, whether it be those things that I've named or something more internal, or maybe for some of you students next week, it's victory over these exams. Listen to what the psalmist writes. The Lord answer you in the day of trouble. Which might be every day. The name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. May he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. May we shout for joy over your victory, and in the name of our God, set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord will help me, his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with mighty victories by his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but our pride is in the name of the Lord our God. They will all collapse and fail, but we shall rise and stand upright. Give victory to the King, O Lord. Answer us when we call. That is an iconic verse, isn't it? Verse 7. Some trust in chariots and horses. And for this poet who is writing this, the people are about to go into battle. You think intuitively it makes great sense to trust in your horses and your chariots, to trust in the number of shields and spears and swords you have, to trust in the might of your army, to trust in their training, to trust in generals to make good decisions and to be thoughtful, to be audacious, to be tactical. And all of those things, I'm sure, are quite important. But what the psalmist feels like is the most important is not all of that stuff, but trust in the name of the Lord. He cannot envision there being any kind of real victory without the Lord. You might win, but winning is not victory. When we people of faith talk about victory, we're not talking about the same thing. You hear the prosperity gospel always talking about victory over your finances, but that might just be winning. Victory might be to be dead broke, but have the Lord. It's different. He sees that there can be no real victory without trusting in the Lord. I think that's hard for us to wrap our brains around, because we are a people who want proof and we want physical things, tactile things that we can touch and trust in those. We put so much trust in our leaders and in our government, and people believe that they'll make policies and laws that will protect us and make us successful and turn our economy around and do all these wonderful things. But think, in your lifetime, have you ever known a government to really help? They might have some wins, but what about victory? We put our trust not only in leaders and in government and in our laws, we put our trust in the experts too. When I was getting married and was engaged, you know what I did? Probably what many of you did. I read a book. How to be a good husband. I took premarital counseling. How to be a good husband. But I could get everything right and still fail, can't I? I don't know how many times I've counseled people and they've said, you know, well, we bought this book, the Seven Love Languages, or How to Be Not an Idiot in Your Marriage, or whatever the self-help book is, and written by experts, psychologists, counselors, trainers, thinkers, pastors, theologians. And they'll say, we're doing everything the book says, and yet there's still no peace in our relationship. This is the point where I tend to ask, how often are you praying together? Is Christ the center of that relationship? And the same goes for parenting or being a good child. None of us are too old to be somebody's child. We could do everything right and have some wins, but not necessarily have victory. We might not have the peace that we seek. We might not have the unity of spirit. But most of all, we might not be living life to the full, which is, after all, something God promised us, isn't it? Not just to have life, but to have it to the full. We might be missing that. We listen to these experts to tell us about financial planning, or we go to the experts at our university or college to teach us how to live and how to think. And all of that might be very good and important, but it's not the same as trusting in the Lord, making God the center of it all, turning all things over to Him. Books, leaders, government, laws, experts. The worst of the worst is, though, when we put all of our trust in ourselves. When we trust our own expertise and our own training and our own know-how, and we feel like we can figure this out. I can make this work. I can just man up or woman up enough to power through this. But we are the worst ones to trust. Not that all of our training and expertise and abilities and wisdom and life experiences are worth nothing. They're vital. They're still important to lean on. But again, it goes back to the same mantra that it's not the same as trust in the Lord. We might be winning and still be losing. We may be winning and achieving, but still not have what we call victory. Here's a great example of why we are not qualified to trust our lives. Think about how feeble and fallible we are, how finite we are, how simple we are. My favorite proverb is Proverb chapter 30, verse 2. And if I'm lying, I'm dying. It says this in the holy book. It says, I am too stupid to be human. That's my life verse. That's my go-to verse. If I do something ridiculous or make a wrong turn or mistake, I say, Kim, I'm having a Proverbs chapter 30, verse 2 kind of day. I am too stupid to be human. There's a great movie that exemplifies this in the 90s. You may have seen it. Does anybody remember the movie Shazam? It was starring the actor and comedian Sinbad. And Sinbad played this genie who was supposed to help this kid out. And people are talking about this movie all over the internet. It came out in the 90s, again, starring actor and comedian Sinbad, and it's called Shazam. The title of it says, Shazam, Truly Magic. Just a lighthearted, wonderful, fun for the whole family movie that a lot of people, thousands and thousands of people, said they saw and enjoyed, can remember watching it with their dad, can remember owning the VHS cassette. Does anybody, some of y'all don't know what that is, but they can remember going and watching it in the theaters. The only problem is this: there is no such thing as a movie called Shazam starring Sinbad. No such thing. The movie does not exist, never did exist, and yet thousands, hundreds of thousands of people collectively remember and swear, I know I saw that movie. There are reasons for that, and there may be confusions or twists or turns. There was a movie called Kazam starring Shaquille O'Neal, and the trailer for that movie did play during a Sinbad film called The Kid. Sinbad kind of sounds, you think of Sinbad, you think of the old epic stories of Sinbad the Sailor, and there were genies in that story. It's called the Mandela Effect. When you have an actual memory of something that never happened. The Mandela Effect is named this because when Nelson Mandela died, there were hundreds of thousands of people who were in shock because they thought he died in 1983. They were sure he died in the 80s. And yet, and they remember his funeral. They'll say, I saw his funeral on TV. But they didn't. But they believe they did. They know that they did. It happens all the time, kind of like little things. Like in the cartoon of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, what does she look, the evil witch, she looks in the mirror and she says, what? Mirror, mirror. She didn't say that. She actually said, magic mirror on the wall. But I know, I remember hearing her say, mirror, mirror on the wall. Or when Forrest Gump says, life is like a box of chocolates, he doesn't say that. He says, life was like a box of chocolates. But here's the one that's going to really blow your mind. How many of you saw Star Wars? You remember Darth Vader confronting Luke in Sky City? And he says, Darth Vader says to Luke Skywalker, what? Luke, I am your father. He never said that. He never said that. But I know I watched him say that. That's how our brains work. And these are silly things. But sometimes we remember and think things are completely wrong that are on a much bigger and more important scale. We're sure that this person has said this about me. We're sure this person has acted against me. We're sure we know which way our lives need to go. We're sure we've got the right plan for our future. We're sure we're in the right job, the right career. But we're not very good at making decisions, are we? We are Proverbs chapter 30, verse 2 people. And so the Lord says you can't really trust in yourself either. What we like to do is, and we especially do this in church life, we have a business meeting or a roundtable meeting, and we, or our church council or our ministry team gets together, and we come up with an elaborate plan. We're going to do this on this date, and we're going to have this event here. And then we, at the end, we say, dear Lord, please bless our plans. That's not really trust, is it? That's just us making plans and saying, God, would you work it out for us to do what we want? Or we're like this. We say, God, I'll do it as long as you tell me how much it's going to cost, how long it will take, how will I get there, and when I do get there, what are all the necessary things that are going to happen? We want all the details up front. But the psalmist says, no, trust in the name of the Lord. Last week, we heard the prophet Jeremiah talking about the time he went down to the potter's wheel and he watched the potter working on this object, and it became marred in his hands. And we realized together that to be a good disciple means being good clay. It means that we allow God to shape us and form us, and we stay right there in his hands, the hands of the master craftsman, the master artisan. And we won't see it happening all at once. The clay doesn't know what the clay is going to become. But you watch a potter go down to Seagrove, and you'll see them spinning this wheel of clay, and they'll poke it here and twist it there, and they'll use some little stick to do this, and you don't know where they're going with this, and you don't see what their vision is and what their plan, but the master craftsman knows. And before you realize it, all of a sudden there appears before you a beautiful work of art. So it is in your life. And when we trust in the Lord, we don't know where he's taking us or what he's going to do with us. We don't have all the details, but he pokes us, and with a little pressure here and a little twist there and with a little shaping it here and a little fixing there, before we know it, we become a real work of art. Stay in the master's hands and trust in the name of the Lord our God. Let's pray. Lord, help us to simply yield completely to you, fully, trusting that you know where you would take us and who you would have us to be. that our lives would be spent simply yielding to every push, to every bit of pressure, to every poke and prodding that you give us. Help us not to be so confident in external things and in ourselves, and to instead trust in you, to rely on you, to have faith in you. And yes, Lord, we know we are too stupid to be human, but you have said in your word you take our foolishness to work wonders so that you might be glorified. Oh, God, work a wonder through us, your simple-minded children. And would you form each of us into a work of art? In the name of your Son, Jesus, Lord, this is our prayer. Amen. We want to invite you to respond to God's word this morning. And throughout this season of experiencing God, we're going to offer an invitation each Sunday for you to come and kneel here at the altar in prayer. Or if you need someone to pray with me, you can come forward and I'll pray with you. Or David will be here at the front also, willing to pray for you. Or you may simply need to sit back down in your seats where you are and just find the Lord in the presence of this place. Our hymn of response is number 405, Have Faith in God. Would you stand if you are able? To see you tonight at our fellowship meal at 5. We have activities for youth and for children tonight as well. And we also want to remind all of our families with youth that we do have the youth lunch immediately following the service. And this is your opportunity to sign permission slips. If you have a child, you're also invited to come and have your permission slip signed and notarized upstairs in the fellowship hall. Would you receive this blessing as we go? May the one who is greater than all, the one who is King of all kings and Lord of all lords, more powerful than any mighty act of nature or any mighty trembling army, may the one who is wiser than all the scholars, and the one who has more love in his heart than the depths of the ocean, be with you and guide you and form you in the week to come. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Through heart.